Thank you for joining us on this episode of Eminent Teachnology with Dr. Rochelle Newton and Drew Stennett, where we examine current and emerging technologies through the lens of diversity and equality. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Eminent Teachnology with Dr. Rochelle Newton and Drew Stennett. Today, we're going to continue our talk about technology and race. And today, we have a special phrase to start off with, which I'm very interested in learning more about. And the special phrase is person of color. So, Rochelle, I'm very excited to hear what you have to say about this. And a little tip to our audience, Rochelle has gone and gotten a box of crayons. Which I have a feeling is some foreshadowing. So I'm very curious to hear where you're coming from with this, Rochelle.
Well, I promise you, we're not going to do any coloring. How about that? So historically, terms come into our vernacular through a lot of ways. So, like, if you go look on Wikipedia or any of these other things, you can find somebody's created a new word. So our word, teachnology. Now, teachnology, we could not copyright that word, but we copyright that word teachnology is a new word. It's not a word, you know, you can't go find it in a dictionary. It might show up now, but it's not. But new words come into our vernacular through a variety of ways. You know, Spock's live long and prosper. See if I can do it today. Live long and prosper.
Very nice.
That's a phrase, you know, so you can do that. You know, all of the kind of things that we get into our communities and in our minds that become part of our everyday vernacular now, right? So we now all want everybody to live long and prosper, yeah. Right? So, but one of the things that happens specifically in the space of people categorizing. So some of the obvious ones, short, tall, fat, skinny, blonde, brunette, you know, blue eyes, brown eyes, whatever they are, you know, we categorize, and these categories mean something to someone. I don't know. But does it matter whether you have blue eyes or brown eyes? You know, to some people, it really does. So blue eyes tend to in some parts of our society, indicate, you know, you are of a higher population, you're a better breed of whatever you are if you have right. Blue eyes and blonde hair, versus we have brown eyes and brown hair. What always was a question to me is, what happens when a blonde haired, blue eyed person has a child with brown hair and brown eyes? So yeah. Is your child now inferior to you or something? You know, the fact that we're constantly challenging Mother Nature's roll of the dice in which you may look like coming out as a criteria of something, you know, so, you know, you've got these different things that come along. And so we have race. So back in the day, you know, if you go back, you know, into the early formations of white America, we got these colors, black and other words that refer to blacks, and you got white, you know, and then you got all these words that happen in communities, right? So I remember the first time I heard the word honky. You know, now I'm gonna tell you something. I didn't know what that meant, but I, being the dumb child that I was, thought that had something to do with the car honk. You know, somebody's trying to honk their horn and they're honking. You know, well, later on in my life, I found out it had a negative connotation to it. And then there was, you know, the N word, the C word, you know, there were all these words that came along and we've accepted them. You know, we've said, okay, they're in our words. And then you have Caucasian, African, Chinese. Okay, what exactly does that mean? So yeah. Chinese, I could get. African, I could get. I didn't understand Caucasian because I don't know of a country or a city or area called Caucasia or something like that, but there's these Caucasoid mountains or something, you know? So where words come from and how easily they become a part of our daily use needs to be examined to a point to understand why, right?
Yeah.
So some of the new words that have come out lately in the last few years is people and persons of color.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that that means everybody that's not white. So Black people, brown people, yellow people, red people, mixed race people, those are persons or people of color. But did anyone ask any of these people of color, are they people of color? You know, and so this people or persons of color has become a part of our vernacular, and we use it all the time. It's done in research now. It's, you can quantify data, you know, persons of color, you know, and all these things, you know. But remember now, we had minorities, so that wasn't good enough. So we got a new word. So we got, you know, persons of color, you know, and we keep coming up with words to identify ways to separate ourselves.
Yeah.
I am not a person of color. And the reason why I know I'm not a person of color, because if you're not a person of color, I cannot be a person of color. Because going to my handy box of crayons, and this is a 96 box, and I just want you to verify this is 96 crayons in this box, Drew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 96. It's a big old box.
It's a big old box. So I want to show you some colors in this crayon box. So let me see if I can get them out. And none's missing, so you can see none are missing. All of them are there.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them are there. Okay. So there's this color. We won't say what color it is yet. You know, old people cannot see. There is this color. Mm-hmm. You see it? There's this color. There is this color.
Yep.
There is this color.
Mm-hmm.
Too many colors of brown in this box, but we'll go with this brown here. Oh, this color brown. There's brown. Oh, yeah. What am I missing? I'm sure I'm missing something, but whatever it is. So I want to ask you a question, Drew.
Yes.
All of these colors, and I'm missing one. I know I'm missing a color. I don't know what it is, but I'm missing. Are these all colors?
Yes. And I want to say yes with a caveat, because I see, like, so the crayons you have, I would say, objectively speaking, are black, yellow, brown, white, and red. Am I seeing that correctly? And I think the only like disagreement I have with you is, like, and I don't even know if this is a disagreement, but a lot of times I've heard black and white referred to as, like, white being the lack of color. Like, if you break colors down, white is like nothing. Whereas black is, if you combine all colors, you get a black color. So I've like, growing up in my theater background, where, like, we're talking about costumes and makeup and things, people will often say, like, white is not a color. White is the absence of colors. But, I mean, practically speaking, white is a color, right? Like, white is a crayon. You use your white crayon on a picture and you get the color white. So that is my only caveat.
Right. I think the interesting thing is I don't know who came up with these as colors. You know, I know some black people that may be this shade of black, but I know very few. Mm-hmm. So black people are all of these colors combined. So they're all of it. So if you just drive, they're all, but not just so solely black, but there are some black people.
Yeah.
Brown. So brown is supposed to cover Latino, Hispanic, Native American, Pacific Islanders, and, you know, whatever else you can lump in that category. I've never seen one that was this color, but, you know, maybe that's why crayon makes 96 colors, because there's 96 versions of brown. There's only one color of black. There's no versions of black. There's like, you got gray, but there's no colors of black. Yellow is supposed to represent Asian people. I don't know how we came up with that, but, you know, okay.
There's that's and a weird one. Yes, it's like, it's not Simpsons color. Like, it's
right. And I've never seen a yellow person. So there's that.
Except on The Simpsons.
Animation notwithstanding. white, I've never seen. I've seen close. I've not seen white. I've seen very pale people, mm-hmm. but I've not ever seen a white person. Yeah. And I've never seen a red person. Now, we're not talking about animation and what they can do in the movies and all that stuff. We're talking about just in everyday life. You know, mm-hmm. just walking around. But for some reason, we have decided that this color, white, is the best of all of these colors because it's that. And so I need to separate this white crayon from all these other color crayons because of something. I don't know what the something is, but I do. And this is the better color. So, and to use what you said, so most times when kids color on coloring books or whatever it is, the paper is some form of white.
Yeah.
And if you color white on white, does it show up?
So, I mean, if you look like real close, you can sort of see.
So there's that. So when you call a person of color, you're separating this color away from this color and saying something about this color subtly that you're not saying about these other colors.
Yeah.
So this is where we get white supremacy from, where you get white superiority and all of this stuff, because this color is different from all of these other colors.
Yeah.
And I would like to know, how is that possible? So if this color is the better color, and this is white, I'm holding the white crayon. Mm-hmm. If this color is better than all of these other crayons, and I'm going to go a little left here for a minute, but mm-hmm. if you throw religion in there, God created Adam and Eve. And right. this supposedly was what they looked like, right? So they were like this. Then you throw the argument in that in the religious circle, the Black people did something wrong and they were marked. And that's how they became this color. Now, that took care of two. How did these other colors come to be about? Because the Bible only speaks to these two colors, if you will. You use white and black and gold in the Bible a lot, but
so is brown. That so I'm not super familiar with the Bible, but I'm sort of surprised that, because I mean the Bible came about, I mean, we're talking about a long time ago when I assume there, like, most people were not like white as we think about it today. Like in the Middle East, you know, those people are not what we think of as white. So I guess I'm surprised that that something like that would be in the Bible, but I'm also not super familiar with it.
So there's nothing. So what's in the Bible is a story of Ham, and I'm going to put it. I'm gonna put this in the chat so you can see it and read it. But the story of Ham. So supposedly, chat with you here. Supposedly, if you believe this, and one of the problems with religious texts is the age and the authenticity of the text. And I'm not questioning anything, whether it's true or not. Mm-hmm. But supposedly, one of these people, white persons, made some kind of mistake and slept with his daughter, or had some kind of interaction with his daughter that was inappropriate. And God saw it, and he was so angry about it, he put a mark on that person and that person's family. And everybody that's in that person's descendants, in that line of that family, have this mark.
Yeah.
This is how I got this beautiful skin I have, this mark. But what's really not clear is how we get colors. How do we get to a place where we describe people by things such as black and brown and green and orange and pink, persons of color? What is a person of color? To me, the logical argument for a person of color is to make white people superior, because this sets this color apart from all other, the other 95 colors in this box. This yeah. color is the only color that's not of color.
Yeah.
And I would argue that white people are more of color than black people, because I can tell you an off-color joke and make you turn red.
That's very true.
Or you can bump into something and turn blue.
Yeah.
You know, you can go out in the sun and you could turn orange, like your former president. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways that white people's colors change far more than other colored people. Now, I'm going to say, when I get hot, I turn red. My face turns red. My blush, whatever that is, you can see that I'm hot.
Yeah.
But when I'm in the wintertime, my fingertips turn blue when I'm cold. But other than that, and I get bruises too, and bruises change colors. you know. But for other than that, most of the time I'm the same color. Even if I go out in the sun, now I understand now the sun is starting to bother all skin types now. But back in the day, I'd be out in the sun all day and I'd be the same color all day and all night. I'm still the same color. But I typically stayed the same color. But now this color, this color right here is the superior color, and it's the pure color. Because going back to that biblical Bible, they describe Jesus Christ as white as snow.
That's
now, the point that you made earlier is pretty profound. I don't know if you've been to the Middle East, where he's supposedly from. There are some pretty fair-skinned people in that region. There are. But most of them are closer to this color right here. They're brown.
Yeah.
Brown. You know, they're not this. Most of the people from that region do not have blonde hair. And I will tell you, growing up as a child, I had three pictures on my wall. I had Martin Luther King, Jesus Christ, and John F. Kennedy. Jesus Christ had blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
And he was white.
Yeah. That's what Jesus Christ. Like going to church as a kid, like all of Jesus was always portrayed like that. He's like a white dude with like long blonde flowing hair. And like, you know, as a kid, like you never really thought about it. And then you like, as you grow up, you think more and it's like, I'm pretty sure like people did not look like that when in 0 AD in Jerusalem, like, just not white. And I always just sort of assumed it was sort of like a European Christianity thing or something that just said, hey, like, we don't want to be, us as like the white Europeans don't want to worship someone who doesn't look like us. So let's just whitewash it, right? Let's make Jesus the Pepsi, the Coca-Cola version of Santa, as opposed to what is, you know, most likely accurate.
Right. I think that in a lot of ways, you know, a lot of what's wrong with our society resonates in religion, right? Yeah. Because religion is really the first place where you get superiority between people, right? And we're still fighting about that superiority. So, you know, somebody flies a plane into a building believing that, you know, God is going to do, because you believe you're better, or this God is better than that God, or whatever it is. And what if there's only one God? And what if this is that God? You know, what if that is the case? And in a lot of instances, there are a lot of examples where we make assumptions about things that are based on historical contexts that we have no access to. So, I mean, a lot of the writings and stuff from Roman times or Ethiopia or wherever it is, it's hard to know whether that's the case. And I'll give you my best example. You remember Noah? Remember Noah and the ark and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I read that in my King James version of the Bible, and I was impressed as all get out that he got two of everything he could in the boat and saved the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone told me, find it here, give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is Gilgamesh. So Gilgamesh is written at least 5,000 years, I believe, before the Bible ever existed. It's the exact same story. Huh. The exact same story. It's Noah. So I was in my literature class, and when I read, you know, so this is when I was getting my degree, and I read this, I was arguing with this teacher down. It's not possible. They just copied the Noah story, wrote Noah over again. And she showed me the timeline. And I looked at that, and I'm sitting there thinking, there's no way in hell this is when this happened, right? So it says the Epic of Gilgamesh was written in 2150 through 1400 BCE. And if I remember what BCE means, it means before Christ, something like that. I can't remember exactly, but something. So if it existed before there was Christ, what exactly does it mean?
I mean, I had always just sort of like assumed people were just sort of telling the same stories with different names for like centuries.
Right. And so the question just became, for me became, it says before the common era. That's what it means now. That's what it says now. They do not use the Christianity of it before Christ anymore. So that's what that BCE has said now. But the interesting thing about the way religion tells a story. So if Gilgamesh is really the first pilgrimage of this boat, or maybe we have two instances of it. Maybe the Egyptians, had a Noah, and Christianity had a Noah.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe there was something before that, too.
So that one is harder to swallow, right? Because, you know, I guess they didn't have copyright back then, so no one could copyright the story to prevent it. But right. So why would the exact same story be told again? It's almost verbatim, word for word. How is that possible? And I am not a true academic scholar. I just love to read, and I just love to find out why things are the way they are. So going back to our person of color, you know, we can find a lot of roots of why we are able to separate ourselves into groups and colorize ourselves and all that stuff directly related to religion, but also related to survival, right? So what does it mean to have a society where everybody is likes everybody and everybody gets along? Well, that's ideal, you know, utopia, all that kind of good stuff right there. But in reality, who do you want to have your back? And that's a generic question, right? So you want someone who looks like you, shares your ideals, shares your beliefs. If you make a mess up, they'll overlook it, versus somebody who doesn't, right? So I, as a Black woman, would probably feel more comfortable making my faux pas in front of Black people than instead of white people or other kinds of people. So I, as this color, white, have said, okay, I'm going to tell all the white people that we belong together. You know, we need to stick together. We need to look out for each other. We need to help each other. We need to keep these colors away from us and away from our children, because God forbid if they marry our daughters, they'll become this color now. We don't want that to happen. So we got to keep this color right here. So we can't let that happen. So we got to keep separating these colors. And that's what person of color does.
That's interesting. Like, I guess the thing that I don't really understand is, like, what makes people want to be just with people of their own color? Like, I see a lot of it is maybe like apathy. Like, you know, me as a white person, my parents are white, my grandparents are white, you know, their parents were white. And, you know, you just sort of like me personally, like, I just get used to being around white people. My wife is white, my son is white, right? Like, it's just white all the way down the line. And it's not like when I think back, you know, years past, like living this very like white life with other white people, I guess it wasn't necessarily like just on purpose. It was just, oh, that just happens to be who's around. So that's who I've grown up getting used to. And that's who I feel comfortable with. And just the sort of apathy of not reaching out and not, I don't know, I guess not trying to connect with people who are not white. And then I guess that just like, I can see how that can maybe grow resentment, especially like white people being the majority, always hanging out with other white people. I don't know. It just seems like maybe that's what grows contempt or something, if that makes any sense. And I don't know if it's contempt or just a lack of understanding other cultures.
I think there's something in there. I don't know exactly what that is, but I will tell you this. If you white people, you gathered 100 white people, people you know, people you don't know, just gather them together in a room. And let's just say you all are going to have a kumbaya moment. You all loving and hugging and kissing on each other. That's not going to happen. You know, the way they tell the story is that white people are unified. They love each other. They're for each other. And you can look in politics and see that's not the case. So, you know, you've got the Republicans and the Democrats. They hate each other. They are all the same people with the same agenda, with the same bottom line. They just got to get a different group of people they lead into the slaughter. That's all. That's the only difference between the two groups. Other than that, the thought is that if we stick together, we being white, and I'm not white, and I don't mean that literally, I mean figuratively. If we stick together, we have a better chance of survival. And remember Darwin's theory of survival of the fittest. So we got to stay together. And the reason why you get that 100 white people in the room together and they don't love each other, because survival of the fittest. Some of you are not fit to be white. We can't tell you that, but you ain't fit to be white. So we gonna let whatever happened to y'all happen. That's how y'all end up in the trailer park, or you end up on TV and murder TV, or serial killers, or whatever it is. Oh, yeah. Some of you aren't fit to, but as long as we hold true to the narrative that it's better to be white, and we stick together, and we see the same vision, and we're going the same direction, we have a better chance of survival. It's simply that. And so as long as I can paint that narrative, you know, you think about this, think about a bunch of Ku Klux Klan in the 50s, 30s, whenever they were, and they're going to lynch a black person, or they're going to kill somebody for some reason, whatever it is. They have this Klan meeting, they get all riled up, right? They get themselves all, you know, no black people, they're just terrible, they're animals, they're whatever it is, right? Not everybody in that group believes that that's going down that road, but they're in the group. I'm in, I made it, I fit in, I belong, I'm included. Yeah. Oh, I'm a part of something now, I've got something. And that's how you get to the places where we are now, where we have so many different things. I mean, instead of people appreciating their individualism and then appreciating their duality of meaning being with people and all the other things you get from being around people, and seeing all the benefits. But I will just tell you the simplest way to look at this, and I tell people this all the time, go outside in your yard and look at the pine trees. Mm-hmm. No matter how many other trees you got around it, look at all the pine trees. I will tell you the pine trees dominate, because they grow taller, they're thinner, but they're the most fragile tree in your yard. That's the ones that go fall over on your house and knock off your lights or tear off your roof.
Yeah.
You know, all the other trees are gonna fall too, will fall too, but the pine trees, and so, nature did not say we're just going to have all pine trees, you know, because however we got all these other trees, if you believe in the evolution thing, one tree led to another tree, led to another tree, led mm-hmm. to another tree, whatever the original tree was, it made all these other trees in terms of, you know, aesthetics. It's beautiful to see all those different trees out there, especially as they're changing color. But guess what? That can change color. The pine tree stays green winter, other than the brown leaves when it fall off and die, but it stays green year round. All the other colors decorate themselves so beautiful. They put red, orange, yellow, all these different colors. And we love that, but we don't love that in people. We only like pine trees in people.
That's very true. I always think of the pine trees as like, when we used to live at the beach, like you want to stay away from those pine trees in like hurricane season, because those are like, they're like missile trees. They're going to go through your window. They're going to go through your house. They're just going to lift up out of the ground and go through whatever. It's like, oh, I don't want any of those pine trees around. Like, that's awful.
That's awful. And so in essence, the thing I'm saying is that to you, the use of persons of color is just another way to segregate. And I would say if you ask the average black person, they do not want to be a person of color. Yes, the average Hispanic person, they don't, or Latinx person, they don't want to be a person of color. They want to be what they are.
Yeah, person.
Their heritage, right? Yeah. A person, but not anything else associated with the person. You know, yes, I absolutely know I'm a woman. I checked. I am a woman. That's 100% true. I want to be that. I don't want to be a man. I want to be a woman. I like it. But I'm a person. But the fact that I'm a woman should not have anything to do with how you treat me or how you see me.
Thank you for listening to Eminent Teachnology. If you like the show, please review, subscribe, and recommend us to your friends and family. We'd love to hear feedback from you as well. You can email us at eminentteachnology@gmail.com. See y'all soon.